Greetings, dear listeners, and a warm welcome to Walnut Grove Podcast. I'm Tim Shapley, your host and pastor of Walnut Grove Southern Methodist Church in the heart of West Monroe, Louisiana. Our podcast is a space where we come together to explore, discuss, and reflect on matters of faith, community, and the journey of life. At Walnut Grove, we believe in the power of meaningful conversation and biblical understanding that draws us closer to God and one another. The goal of this podcast is simple, yet profound: to inspire, encourage, and uplift. We'll delve into topics that matter to you, featuring insightful interviews, Bible studies, and sermons discussing faith and reflections on navigating life's joys and challenges. Whether you're a member of our church community, a fellow believer, or someone seeking spiritual insights, we invite you to join us on this journey. Together, let's explore the richness of faith, foster a sense of community, and draw closer to divine purpose each of us carries. Thank you for turning into Walnut Grove Podcast. Now let's embark on this adventure together. I found myself drawn to the book of Revelation. I was telling my father-in-law about this week, and I was telling him it's not because of the eschatology. And my wife said, well, those are some big words. Eschatology is the study of the end times, and you have, of course, Revelation, and then also, Ezekiel, Daniel, there's some other books, like in Matthew, there's a part where Jesus is talking about the end times. But it's not because of the end times that I have been drawn to Revelation, but chapter 2 and 3, where Jesus is sending out messages to seven churches in Asia Minor. So today we'll be in chapter 2. Next week we'll look at chapter 3. We'll look at four churches today and three next week. I think that math is correct. I think that's seven. And so we'll be looking at these first four churches. So Revelation chapter 2 begins the series of letters from Jesus Christ to the seven churches in Asia Minor, and these messages offer encouragement, warnings, challenges to each church, providing a lesson for us today as we navigate our own spiritual journeys. And let us explore the historical background and the key teachings from the first four churches addressed in this chapter. Some people believe, so these were actual historical letters to actual historical churches. That's true. Some people believe that these churches represent church ages. I'm not sure about that. But I do believe we can take these churches and we can look at them. We might be one of these churches, but also we as individuals might have these same kind of attitudes that these churches had. And so this is something we could take and we can learn from in our own personal lives and also for our church here. So starting in verse 1, we're going to be looking first at the church of Ephesus. And it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So first we have the church of Ephesus here, and the historical background to the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was an influential city known for its large population, commerce, and famous temple to Artemis, or if you know by her Greek name, Diana. Sorry, that's the Roman name. Roman name, Diana. Greek name was Artemis. The church in Ephesus was founded by Paul and later led by Timothy. And it was a major city, it was a major center of early Christianity and the home even to the Apostle John for a time. So that all sounds pretty good, right? Paul founded this church. Timothy was there. We have the letters to Timothy. We actually have a letter to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians. What happened? Well, their knowledge, their doctrine was good. They had a good doctrine. They had a good theology. That was all great. They had hard work. They persevered. They had perseverance. They reject false prophets. I've been talking about this last couple of weeks of how we need to be standing up to false teachers and false prophets. We need to be calling them out. And they were doing that. But there is a criticism here from Jesus of this church. Even though they had all the knowledge correct, even though they had all the theology that was correct, they lost their first love, their passion for Christ and for one another. You could be a church that has all the right doctrines. Your discipline could be great. Everything's biblically matched. It's great, but if you do not love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself, you've missed it. You've missed what the gospel is about. We have to love God with our whole being. And we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. We were talking about this before Sunday school this morning, about loving people and how it's difficult sometimes, but how the church has really failed at loving people. They might have the right doctrines, they might have the right theology, but if you hate your fellow man, if this relationship isn't correct, then the relationship between us and God won't be correct either. And that's what this is all about, having a love for God with all of your being. But there's still hope. There's still hope for the church of Ephesus. They are to remember, repent, and return to their first works, their first love, God. The promise given to them is if they do this, if they repent, if they return to the love of God, to loving God, then they will have the right to eat from the tree of life. Second church, starting in verse 8, to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and who came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Now, there are two churches in this list of seven churches that Jesus has nothing against. He says nothing bad about them. There's no criticism, no condemnation, just commendation. And this is one of them. So Smyrna was a wealthy city known for its loyalty to the Roman Empire and to its emperor worship. And the Christians here faced persecution from the Romans and the Jewish population. And here Jesus talks about it. He says, you are enduring this persecution. Their endurance in the face of suffering and poverty. Even though the city itself was wealthy, this church was struggling. But they were obedient. They were obedient in the persecution. Jesus acknowledges their tribulations and their persecution. But notice what he says here to them. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to take you out of this persecution and you'll be fine. He says, no, continue to suffer, but be strong in it, to be faithful in it. Do not fear the future suffering and remain faithful unto death. There's going to be more suffering, but be faithful. I think it's interesting, and I will talk a little bit about eschatology here. Just a little bit. So many people want the pre-tribulation rapture. They really do. And that's where Jesus comes and raptures the church before the tribulation. That's pre-tribulation. But as I started out when I was young, I believed that in the pre-trib rapture. But as I started studying the Word of God, I have become more of what we call it, either a mid-trib rapture or a post-trib rapture, either happened 3.5 years or happening after the tribulation. Because the Lord talks about enduring, about persecution and enduring in that suffering. And the Lord wants us to trust in Him. When you look at the story of Noah, Noah had to go through the flood. Him and his family had to go through the flood. The Lord protected them. The Lord was with them, but he had to go through the flood. The children of Israel had to go through the 10 plagues in Egypt. They were right there in it. Now, God protected them from some of them, but they were still there, and they had to endure. And then the wandering in the wilderness. Here, the Lord tells us there's going to be persecution. Endure. Don't fear about it. Don't worry about it. Don't get anxious about it. Trust in the Lord. And when you make it through, if you make it through either by death or by actually getting through it, you will be given a crown of life and immunity from the second death. Then in verse 12, we have the third church here. To the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Historical background here for the church at Pergamos. Pergamos was known for its cultural and intellectual achievements, as well as its commitment to emperor worship. The church in Pergamos faced challenges from within due to the influence of false teachings and idolatry, and the city housed a large altar to Zeus and other pagan temples. Now, the commendation was that their faithfulness in holding fast to Christ's name despite persecution. But there is criticism here, and their criticism that they allowed some to hold the teachings of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. Now, the Nicolaitans is this group that came up in the early church, and there's some debate about all that they believed, and what Nicolaitan means is like the rulership, and that these were having a rule over them, but they were definitely bringing in sexual immorality and idol worship, and we see that here. And so here, Jesus says, repent from their tolerance of false teachings and immorality. We need to be careful. We need to be like the church of Ephesus in our theology and in our doctrines, but we need to make sure that we're loving God. And here, Pergamos, they loved God, but they were letting in false doctrines. They were letting in false theology, and they were adopting idolatry and immorality. So they are to repent from their tolerance of false teachings and immorality. And here they're given their promised hidden manna and a white stone with a new name written on it. Now, we could probably go into details about all of these promises and what they might truly mean. I'm not going to do a lot of guesswork here, but they are given these rewards, these promises, these blessings. And what we really need to be careful here is about the criticism that we're not allowing in idolatry, immorality. Idolatry today looks a lot different than idolatry did in this day, though maybe it is similar. We don't really worship deities. We don't worship Zeus. We don't worship Thor. We don't worship what's that? Moloch, yeah. As in, we don't talk about those deities, but we do worship self. We worship self, and we worship ideas. We worship money. We worship independence. We worship power and pride. and that is idolatry. And usually leads to immorality. When you worship pride, when you worship self, then you are easily deceived and lets in these false worships. And so here the church of Pergamos, they were letting in these false teachings, these false beliefs, idolatry, immorality. And to the final one we'll look at today, in verse 18, to the angel in the church of Thyatira, write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Now, by the way, all of these letters are from Jesus here. Jesus has given these, and each church he gives a new description of himself. The last one we looked at, he has the two-edged sword, right? And so he's the first and the last, and we're given these descriptions. And now it says he has eyes like flames of fire and his feet like fine brass. And he says here, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. So here we say, he's got some good things to say here. They have love, they have faith, they have service and perseverance, which is growing. That perseverance is great. He says that the last is more than the first. Nevertheless, verse 20, I have a few things against you. Because you allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I have given her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here we have the church of Thyatira. Thyatira was a commercial and trade city known for its guilds and associations. And Christians faced pressure to participate in guild activities involving idolatry and immorality. Something happened this week in the Christian news. You might have heard about it, maybe you didn't. There was last weekend, there was a men's conference for a church. It was a large men's conference. And during this conference, they had, on Friday night, they had a day of entertainment before they started the studies and the seminars and those things that were going on. On this day of the entertainment, now, in the past, they've had, like, these monster trucks and things like that that have come in to entertain the men. This year they thought it would be okay to invite a stripper, a male stripper, to this men's conference where, now he was doing things like sword swallowing and acrobatic stuff, but he still had the stripping in his act. And he did this on Friday night. And then on Saturday, one of the men that was coming up to speak, his name is Mark Driscoll. Now, I don't know too much about Mark Driscoll. He was a pastor at a church called Mars Hill that had a lot of struggles, and he was to blame for most of that. So I'm not saying I don't know anything about him really personally, but that he got up and he spoke against this entertainment that they had. And he called them that they had this Jezebel spirit. And so here, this is the same thing Jesus is calling out here at the church of Thyatira. They had love, they had faith, they had service, they had perseverance, but they had tolerated the teachings of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel, whenever we see that name in the Bible, it's never a good thing. The first woman known, you know, that we know as Jezebel was an evil queen who brought in all these false deities into Israel, Judea, all of that, and was really against the prophets of the Lord, and was an enemy of God, true enemy of God, warred against him. And so whenever we see her name pop up again, when you see it here, and then you'll see it again in Revelation as you study, she was an idolater and an adulterer, brought in this immorality. And so here, the church is being warned, don't adopt these practices. Don't adopt these practices. It's great that you have love. It's great that you have faith. It's great that you have service and perseverance. But if you're bringing in this sin and you're approving of it and you're practicing in it and you're encouraging others, there's a real warning here that we do not do the same. Says that they will be cast into this deathbed. And so it says, hold fast. The exhortation is hold fast to what you have and reject these false teachings. And the promise is that there will be authority over the nations and over the morning star. So with these churches that we looked at here, and we'll look at some again next week, we need to realize, what is God warning us about? We need to make sure that we have a proper doctrine, a proper theology, but yet that we have a love for God. We need to be willing to go through that persecution and not think that we're just going to be saved from it. Go through that persecution, and then we guard our hearts against idolatry and immorality. That we guard our hearts and we are faithful, we are loving, and that we serve and have perseverance. And we have to, the phrase that is repeated here, that Jesus repeated after his Sermon on the Mount, he that has an ear, let him hear. Listen. Listen. Don't just hear it. Listen. Take note of it. It's a warning. It's encouragement to take what you have heard and to apply it to your lives. and to act upon it. In his church on the sermon in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that he who hears and does it, he is the one who builds his house on a firm foundation. So here we hear. We hear the warnings. We hear the encouragement. We hear the promises. We act on them so that our life is built on a firm foundation. The letters to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 offer profound lessons for us today. They reveal Christ's intimate knowledge of our spiritual state, his desire for us to grow in faith and in love, and his warnings against complacency and compromise. Jesus' promise is to the faithful, offer hope and assurance of his ultimate victory and reward for those who overcome. Let us strive to follow his teachings and remain faithful in all circumstances. Let us pray. Father, we just ask that you help us. Help us to guard our hearts. Help us to know what is right and to know your word, but to also live it and to love you with all of our being, to love each other as ourselves. Help us to be faithful. Help us to not let in idolatry, let in pride and selfishness and worship of these things, of money, sex, power. But help us to worship you, to focus on you, to be obedient, to overcome the persecution that we face. Be faithful, persevere, and to do it all for your honor and your glory. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Walnut Grove Podcast. We hope our discussions have inspired and uplifted you. If you'd like to connect further, visit our website at walnutgrovechurchwm.com for more resources, information about our church, and ways to get involved. For real-time updates and community engagement, find us on Facebook at Walnut Grove Southern Methodist Church. Join the conversation, share your thoughts, and stay connected with our vibrant community. Additionally, you can check out our Discord channel. It's a space where our community gathers for casual chats, discussions, and shared experiences. You can find the link on our website or reach out to us on Facebook for an invitation. And don't forget to engage with us further by commenting, rating, liking, and sharing the podcast. Your feedback is valuable to us, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on the topic we've covered. Your comments and ratings not only help us improve, but also contribute to creating a more interactive and enriching experience for the entire Walnut Grove community. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider leaving a positive review on your favorite podcast platform. Your reviews play a crucial role in reaching a wider audience and spreading the message of faith, inspiration, and community. Feel free to share the podcast with your friends, family, and on social media channels. Let's continue to build a supportive and uplifting community together. Thank you for your continued support, and we look forward to connecting with you in the comments, ratings, and shares. Until next time, take care and stay blessed.